play, and that was lovely. We're going to sing now together 224, good old-fashioned gospel hymn. If you've been to Jesus for the cleansing power, are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? And we'll stand to sing this lovely hymn together, 224. Thanks. Let's unite our hearts together. Let's pray for God's blessing to be with us here tonight as we come together into his presence. Our loving eternal Father in heaven, we thank you that we can gather together tonight in this fashion in your house, Lord, and we can come to praise thee and sing. We thank you, Lord, for opening note of this meeting, the blood of the Lamb. Lord, how precious. How precious is the blood of the Lord Jesus. Peter himself reminds us of that, that we're not redeemed with corruptible things, such as silver and gold from your vain conversation. But Lord, but with the precious blood of Christ as of the Lamb, without blemish and without spot. We thank you for the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus, that he died upon the cross in order to put away our sin. We praise you, Lord, he came into this world and he died and he cried from the cross, it is finished. And Lord, we can say tonight for those of us who are saved, we have been to Jesus for the cleansing power. We have been washed in the blood of the Lamb, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, it cleanses us from all sin. And so we're glad we can come tonight to sing about the blood, and we're glad we can preach about the blood. And we rejoice like John the Baptist could say to people, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And we are a people tonight, Lord, in this meeting, we believe in the power and the blood of the Lord Jesus. And Lord, even this very night, we know that there is a fountain open for sin, for uncleanness. And there may be some in the meeting and they're not saved. And Lord, they've been singing about the blood. They've been singing about the blood of Christ. And yet they've never come to Him. And maybe there are things in their heart, there are things in their life, Lord, holding them back. Maybe the old devil, no doubt. The devil is holding them back. Maybe they're full of fear and full of doubts. I pray whatever it is, Lord, I will remove all from them. And tonight they'll come to Christ and be washed in the blood of the Lamb. It's your work, Lord. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Deal with the hearts of any tonight who's unconverted. Bring him to Christ. Remember the people outside as well. We pray you'll move mightily upon their hearts. We think of the outreach work and the gospel seed been planted. Lord, may it bring forth fruit unto life everlasting. Oh, bless each one of us here tonight. Bless your own dear people. May we never get tired of hearing the gospel of Christ. May our hearts even burn within us tonight, Lord, in this meeting. And we pray you'll bless our time together, and every part of it will be owned and blessed of the Lord. Oh, bless the word here. Bless the word that's sounded out up and down our land, throughout our nation, Lord, tonight. Bless the preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to the salvation, Lord, of many souls. Oh, be with us and bless our time together. I pray in Jesus' wonderful and great name. Amen. Amen. 306. We'll sing another good gospel hymn together. 306. We'll let you keep your seats. And so maybe you sing a bit better, let everyone sing now, and no excuses. And 306, a wonderful hymn, "I'm Not Ashamed to Own My Lord, or to Defend His Cause." So 306, and we'll keep our seats singing our very best.
Thank you.
Well, that's a great hymn of testimony to sing. It was at the cross, where I first saw the light and the burden of my heart, it rolled away. I wonder, have you been to the cross? Have you come to Christ to be saved? Now, we want to turn to read God's word tonight to the book of Titus. So heading towards the end of the New Testament and Timothy, and then you have Titus and the book of Titus. And we're going to read together the verse 1. From chapter 1, sorry, I'm beginning to read at the verse 1. So Titus, the book of Titus, little epistle of Titus, and chapter 1, and we're going to read at verse 1. Paul, a servant of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began, but hath in these due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Saviour, to Titus, mine own son after the common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ our Saviour. For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city, as I had appointed thee. If any be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly. For a bishop must be blameless as a steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, nor given to filthy lucre, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. There are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, whose revert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. One of them, even a prophet of their own, said, the Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies. And this witness is true. Wherefore, rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth. Unto the pure, all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient, and on to every good work reprobate. Amen. We pray that God will bless the reading of his word, even to all of our hearts. We're going to call our brother Billy. He's going to come now and to give a nice thank you.
We welcome everyone to our gospel meeting this evening, and if you're visiting with us, you're especially welcome. And again, we give a very special welcome to our preacher, Mr. Noel Shields, an evangelist under the mission board. And then the announcements for the rest of the week. Tuesday, 7:30 p.m., the outreach team will be meeting at the church. We encourage as many as possible to get involved in the outreach work this summer. Wednesday, 8 p.m., the midweek meeting. The Kenyan pastors will be reporting and speaking at the meeting. We invite you to come to the meeting and avail of the opportunity to hear them. Thursday, 7:30 p.m., the meeting of the Kirk session of the church. Saturday, 7:30 p.m., the commencement of the missionary conference in Lisburn. Preacher on Saturday night is the Reverend Harris. Subject, understanding consecration in God's service. There are cards available in the porch with the details of all the meetings. Next Lord's Day, the 8th of May, 10:40 a.m. the Sunday school and Bible classes. 11:30 a.m. morning service. Miss Noreen McAfee will report and show a video on her work in Uganda. Anyone who would like to give a gift to Miss McAfee's support can place it in the offering plate next Sunday in an envelope marked Miss McAfee. 6 p.m. prayer meeting in the church hall. 6:30 p.m. evening service. The preacher at the evening service will be the Reverend McMillan. These are all the announcements.
Well, we want to thank our brother for the warm words of welcome. And as I said this morning, it's always nice to come to Armagh and to meet the congregation and to preach the word of God. I do pray for the witness here, and I trust that you remember myself as I go around and I work with evangelists. Our brother Colin Maxwell, you know, is working, but work together at the moment. We have a mission that starts tonight down on the Shankill Road, and so on there for 2 weeks. We're out last week doing door-to-door visitation. Amazing, you meet the people that really haven't got a notion about the way of salvation, but we thank God for the opportunities that's given to us to bring the message out with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I said this morning, you meet more people and speak to more people out on the streets, out around door-to-door visitation, evangelism, than you will do in the gospel mission. So I want you to really pray for that mission, because we need the Lord to come to that part of his kingdom. And if the Lord broke forth in the city of Belfast, then no telling where people can carry the gospel message out and the way of salvation. So really do pray for the mission. We are looking to God for an old-fashioned gospel meeting, and to know the power of God, and really to see people brought to the Lord Jesus Christ. So do pray for that. Maybe you'll hear about us coming into the city here. We come when we can, when we're free and able to come, and we like coming to Armagh and to bring the word of the Lord out on the streets. And we're saved well enough up there, top of Scott Street, up in front of the library, beside the bank, and we're saved well enough with the people and giving out the gospel to people. So pray for us, the work of evangelists, and we pray indeed God to bless your witness here for him in the days that lie ahead. Now, we're going to sing another hymn, and it's going to be put up for us there. I think it's 203. Yes, a good hymn it is. I was sinking deep in sin and sinking to rise no more. We'll stand to sing this lovely hymn together, 203.
Thank you.
We want to turn in God's Word to the book of Titus, that portion of the Word of God that we read together. My text can be found in verse 2, chapter 1, verse 2, in the hope of eternal life which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. Lessons from the God of truth. Because you read here in this text, he's a God that cannot lie. So we want to look at this tonight and pray the Lord will bless us around his word. So let's unite our hearts together and look to the Lord for his help. Our loving Father in heaven, we thank you for the word of God. And we thank you, Lord, it is truth. And we can depend upon thy word in a world whereby we can depend upon very little. But Lord, we're glad we can depend upon thee and the scriptures of truth. And I pray thou will bless us now as we turn to thy word. I ask for help to proclaim this message. And maybe there's some unconverted listening on the net. Maybe there's some here and they're not saved. Maybe a young person not saved. Older person not right with God. I pray tonight thou will save them. Cover us in the blood. Fill us, Lord, with thy spirit. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The art of telling lies has been around a long time in this world. The deceitful practice of telling lies was introduced by no one else than the devil. Because over in Genesis and the chapter 3, where God had given Adam and Eve the command, in chapter 2, the day ye eat thereof the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt surely die. That was God's law. This was God's command. You shall die. And yet we find in the next chapter, in chapter 3, the old devil came in verse 4, looking at the fruit with Eve, speaking to Eve. And you know what he says to her? You shall not surely die. You'll not die. Touching the fruit, eating of the fruit, it'll do you no harm. And she says, well, God says we shall die. And he says, listen to me. You shall not surely die. That's a barefaced lie. That's a barefaced lie that was told by the devil. And the Lord Jesus refers to the devil in John chapter 8 and verse 44. Remember, he said to these religious Jews, ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there's no truth in him. And when he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of himself, for he is a liar, and the father of it. And we see here very, very strong words coming from the lips of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he tells us plainly of the devil, he's a liar. And he's the father of lies. The devil is still telling lies. Still today, what's he saying to people? There's no God. There's people, I meet them in my ministry, in door-to-door visitation. The simple question, do you believe in God? Or is there a God? No. You see, they're believing the lie. He's telling people today there's no eternity. There's nothing after the grave. That's another lie. And he's saying to some people today, maybe who feel the very depths of their sin and the guilt of their sin in their heart, there's no hope. That's a lie. And he's telling some people, you know, you have no sin. You're all right. You're all right the way you are. You see, he's a liar. The devil's a liar. That's what the Lord Jesus tells us here. And the devil has passed on this deceitful art onto man. He's passed it on to the human race. Remember it says in Psalm 58 verse 3, the wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies. And every parent here tonight in this meeting, you know there's one thing you don't have to do. You don't have to teach your child to tell lies. It comes naturally. It comes naturally. Something happens in the home and you just say, who did it? Did you do it? Oh, what's the answer? Oh, no. I didn't do it. tell lies. From the womb. A little child. They tell lies, you see. And so we find they do it naturally. And the Bible's full of illustrations of people and they tell lies. Why does people lie? Why do they lie? Well, one of the ways they lie is greed. You know that. Or people lie about when they're filling in their tax forms, perhaps. They have more money for themselves. Gehazi, who was a servant there of Elisha, remember, he went out. And they went out after the Naaman who had been healed. And he says, listen, in 2 Kings 5, verse 21, I'm just paraphrasing. He went out and told them, my master has sent me out. He says, well, we have young men have come with the prophets, and I need some silver and 2 changes of raiment. I need these things. So he saw an opportunity to get some items, some possessions for himself. And here's what he did. He told lies. At least he never sent them at all. But you see, he told lies. Some people will tell lies for fear. A fear grips their heart. Do you remember Peter in Matthew 26 and verse 69? And Peter sat without in the palace, and the damsel came unto him, saying, thou also was with Jesus of Nazareth. Thou wert with him. Can you see the picture? There he is, bold, brave Peter. He's sitting, and this little girl comes in. Do you see him? He was with him. He was with Jesus of Nazareth. Here's what happened. But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. He told lies. You see, his heart was full of fear, and he lied. He didn't know what they were saying. He was with Jesus. And people lie when they're full of fear. Of course, people's full of pride to tell lies. Just to think that people think they're something more than they are. You see that in Acts chapter 5, Ananias and Sapphira. They came and they threw down all this, but they thought to the disciples, all their possessions, all their riches, given everything to Jesus. It's all laid at the feet of the apostles. It's all for the work of Jesus Christ. But here's the wonderful thing about it. They were telling lies. Remember he said, you've lied unto God, lied unto the Holy Ghost. And they were smitten down. People tell because of pride. We know, of course, that lies are the order of the day. It's got to a stage. You can hardly believe anyone today. One of the things I hate in life is this, I suppose there's a few other things, but it's trying to change the motor car. You can hardly get anybody who tell you the truth. You maybe phone someone and says, well, what about that motor car? Do you ever smoke in that car, for instance? You don't want a car full of smoke. Oh, no, there's no smoking in my car. No, nobody's ever smoked in my car. Oh, that's good. I must take a wee run up to see it. And the first thing you smell when you get into it, it's smoke. And they tell you all these lessons, how good this car is, and it's trustworthy, and there's maybe a pile of scrap. So we've all fallen into those traps before. So people, well, they tell lies. Well, they even go to court, can't they? And they stand in the courthouse and get the Bible. They put their hand in the Word of God. And it says, I swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And what do they do? What do they do immediately? Start to tell lies. They start to tell lies. Well, I'm glad I'm here tonight to tell you of one who doesn't lie. I want to tell you tonight of one who cannot lie. It says in our text, in the hope of eternal life, what's God that cannot lie. Over in Hebrews 6 and verse 18, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, he cannot lie. And you see, it's impossible for God to lie. He's so holy, he's so just, he's so good. It's impossible for God to lie. So that means this. He tells the truth. And if there's one we can depend upon tonight, it's the Lord Jesus Christ. It's God. Do you remember the Lord Jesus said in John 17, verse 17, thy word is truth. And that's a wonderful thing. When we come to the Bible, we're reading the Word of God. Remember that tonight. But here, the great truth, it is truth. Thy Word, says the Lord Jesus Christ, it's truth. Because it comes from a God that cannot lie. He cannot lie. It's impossible for God to lie. So we can believe what he says. We can believe what we read in this book. Because it comes from the God of truth. I want to look at some lessons from the God of truth tonight from our text. And I want to speak, first of all, we can believe what God says about man's sin. We can believe what God says about the sin of man. And hey, listen, he's a faithful and he's a true witness. That's what we want, of course. We always want someone to be truthful. We want them to tell us the truth, no matter what it is, to always be truthful. And I say to young people tonight, and even the older people here tonight in the congregation, always tell the truth. And young person, if it gets you into trouble, so be it. You've told the truth. It's far better to tell the truth. Though it may get you into trouble at home, your parents, or in the school place, far better to tell the truth, you know. But God tells us the truth about sin. And what does he tell us? Well, you can think of many, many verses in his word. Think, for instance, of Romans 3, verse 23. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And remember, it is the word of the living God. God, through his servants, is saying these things. And here's what he's saying. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It's not that some people have sinned, or half the human race have sinned. But he says this, all have sinned, and come short of the glory of God. That's what God says. Do you remember Solomon, in 1 Kings 8, verse 46, he says, remember, he's praying, and he's praying unto God, and he says, if they sin against thee, here's what he said, for there is no man that sinneth not. I remember he's speaking here under divine inspiration. And he says here, there's not a man, or we can say tonight, there's not a woman, there's not a boy, there's not a girl that sinneth not. I asked you tonight, I'm speaking to everyone's heart tonight in this gospel meeting. Is this true or is it false? Is it true or false? That all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now God has said it. And remember, it's impossible for God to lie. He's a God that cannot lie. And this is what he tells us. He tells us everyone has sinned. Everyone listening in tonight, the internet, everyone in the meeting tonight, everyone in this city tonight, everyone in the world tonight. That's what he's telling us. That all have sinned. And I say again, are these things true or false? Do you know anybody who hasn't sinned? Do you? Do you know anybody among your family? Do you know anybody among your friends tonight? Do you know anybody in your neighborhood who has never sinned? Who has never broken the law of God? Your workmates, your school pals. Do you know anyone? Is there one? Do you know? There's not one. You see, what God has said is true. And I can meet people on the door-to-door evangelism, and they may come out with us these religious words and so on, but I always ask them a question, well, have you sinned? And you know every one of them. I was saying nearly without exception, sure there's an odd one who denies it, but what they say is this, yes. You see, it's true. God, that cannot lie. He tells us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. In 1 John 1 and verse 8, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. That's what the Bible says. If you say here tonight, I have no sin, I am not bad. You may not be a drunkard tonight. You may not be a drug addict tonight, but here's the truth. You have sinned against God. In word and thought and deed. That's what God tells us about man's sin here, the practice of a sin, that all have sinned. Is that true or false? It's true. I don't think there's anyone tonight would disagree with that with me. That's what God says. Remember, the Bible says, if you say you have no sin, you deceive yourselves, and the truth is not in us. It's not in you. The truth is not in you. The Bible also tells a man's sin that his very heart is very sinful and is very wicked. Do you remember Jeremiah? And it says in Jeremiah 17, verse 5, thus saith the Lord. And what does he say? He says in verse 5, thus saith the Lord. And you can think the ears are open, they're listening. And what has God got to say? And here's what he said. Here's what he said in verse 9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And who can know it? And that's the message he brought. That's what message he said. Your heart is deceitful and it's desperately wicked. And who can know it? In other words, your heart is full of sin. Are these things true or false? They're true. Over in Mark chapter 7, for instance, the Lord Jesus Christ, he did it like a heart surgeon. He opened up the heart. And he gives us a little peep inside the heart of man, spiritually speaking. And he tells us what is within the heart. Remember in Mark 7, verse 21, for from within, out of the heart, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. And the Lord Jesus Christ, what does he do? He opens up our hearts and he shows that our very heart is full of sin. Maybe someone here tonight and you're unsaved and you're glad we can't see your heart. My heart is wicked, desperately wicked, full of sin at times. I'm sure every one of us is glad that people cannot see your heart. But remember, God sees it. God sees the lust of the heart, the sins of the heart. And he tells us in his word here that man's heart, it is sinful. We only have to look into our own hearts without looking at anyone else. Are these things true? Or are they false? Does your not own heart even condemn you tonight? I'm sure my own heart condemns me. It's true. These things are true. From a God that cannot lie. Remember what he tells us about not only the committing of sin here and the corruption of sin in our heart, but he tells us about the condemnation of sin. I want you tonight to listen carefully to the word of God and to the words from the God that cannot lie. And what does he tell us tonight? Doesn't matter what other people say about eternity. It doesn't matter the lies that's promoted by the devil about hell tonight. It matters what God tells us from his word. And the God of truth has spoken. What does he say? The Lord Jesus Christ is God. In Mark chapter 9, verse 44, he said, if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched. And you can go down that passage a number of times. The Lord Jesus talks about the fire that is not quenched, into the fire. A number of times, the fire is not quenched. And so we find here the condemnation of sin. The Lord Jesus speaks about people being cast into hell. Is it true or false? Is it true or false? The Lord Jesus, a number of times here in this passage, about six times, tells us that hell's a place of fire. Is it true or false? The Jehovah's Witnesses will tell you that it's only the grave. And they'll maybe quote some words to you of Hades and Gehenna, and they'll get you all muddled up when they start quoting Greek and all the rest of you. But the Lord Jesus Christ says, into hell. And then he said this, into the fire. So you can put whatever Greek you want until it. The Lord Jesus tells us that hell, it is real. He tells us it is a fire that never shall be quenched. What's he telling us? It's everlasting. It never stops. And I say to you tonight, are these things true or are they false? They're true. They're sobering truths, by the way. That's what God says. This is what the Lord Jesus tells us. There is a place called hell. It's a place of fire. It's a place of wrath. It's a place of punishment. It's a place that's everlasting. It doesn't really matter to me who denies it. Is that foolish enough? It's true. I want you to stop tonight if you're unconverted in the meeting. Your heart is not right with God. And you're in your sin. And you said, oh, I love the sin. I love the places of sin. The things of the sin of the world. I love them. Remember this. Remember where your sin has taken you. It's taken you down towards hell. Into the fire that never shall be quenched. I asked you. I say it to you tonight in the meeting. Are these things true, what God tells us about sin? That we've all committed sin. That our old heart is full of corruption of sin. There's going to be the condemnation of sin. God's prison house of sin. Are they true or false? Well, it's true. It's true. That's the teaching of the Bible. You cannot take your hand and rip pages out of the Bible. You cannot rip text of Scripture from the Word of the living God. It is truth. We can believe God tonight. What are you saying about man's sin and your sin? And you're in trouble tonight if you're unconverted in your sin. Lost and far away from God, tramping down that broad road that leads towards hell. You're great trouble tonight. You'll never be saved unless you see that, of course. God, I cannot lie. And we can believe what God says tonight about man's Savior, not only just about man's sin tonight. We can believe what he says about man's Savior. And he says in Titus 1 and verse 4, to Titus, mine own son, after the common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, our Savior. This is God speaking tonight. He tells us there's a Savior. There's one who can save us tonight. Do you know his name? The Lord Jesus Christ. He's the Savior. And these are the things that are taught and found in the Word of God. Remember way back in Genesis, God promised a Savior. In Genesis 3 and verse 15, he promised after the fall. He says, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and this shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And God made a promise, I'll send a Savior. I'll send him into the world. He's going to destroy the works of the devil. Here's the question to your heart tonight. Is it true or false? Did the Lord Jesus Christ come into the world? He did come into the world. Do you remember? Luke 2, verse 9 to 11, I'm just paraphrasing it. And when the angels sang out, there's a Savior was born, which is Christ the Lord. He came into the world. And God, he fulfilled this promise. He is divine. Of course, he is the second person of the Trinity. The Bible says God was manifested in the flesh, the Lord Jesus Christ. I asked you tonight, is it true or false? He's the Savior of the world. He is God the Son who has come into this world to be our Savior. To be our Savior. Remember when John was writing, remember John was writing about truth over in his epistles. And he said these words in 1 John and chapter 2, verse 22, who is a liar? But he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ, he is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Who is a liar? The Jehovah's Witnesses, and others who knock your doors, and they tell you this, that Jesus Christ is not Lord. He's not the Christ. They're a liar. See, God has told us about the Lord Jesus Christ. He's a Savior. Jesus Christ, our Savior. He tells us he came into the world. It tells us in his word that he went about doing good. He lived a perfect life. And you can read in Acts chapter 10, for instance, in verse 38 about the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter says, he went about doing good. How he was filled by the power of the Holy Spirit of God. And you read the Gospels and you'll see the Lord Jesus Christ, he did this. He healed the lepers. He healed the blind. He raised the dead, the sick. You see, he went about doing good. The Lord Jesus Christ did no sin. Remember I said in 1 John 3 verse 5, in him is no sin. In him. And John is really pointing us to Christ, to no one else. He's not pointing at himself. He's not pointing to other apostles. No, he's pointing to Christ. And only saying, in him is no sin. There's no sin in the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, he's a spotless lamb of God. He never broke the law of God. He never sinned against man. Never sinned against God. I asked you tonight, are these things true or are they false? He's a perfect Savior. He's without blemish and he's without spot. All these things, they are written of the Lord Jesus Christ, you see. God tells us these things about the Savior. True or false? They're true. They're true tonight. Jesus Christ is real. He's alive forevermore. He's the Savior of the world. He went to the cross and bled and died on the cross. You only have to read Isaiah 53, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace tells us it was upon him, and with his stripes we're healed. It tells us about the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. The prophet is saying this years and years before the Lord Jesus came into the world. And he says, yet the Lord has laid on him. On him, the Lord Jesus Christ, the iniquity of us all. I read the Bible. Oh, the love the Lord Jesus had for us. He took my sin. He took the blame, took the guilt, took the curse. All upon his own body. And he went to the cross. And he bled and died upon the cross. And he cried, it's finished. And Paul could write of Christ by one sacrifice. This man, by one sacrifice, he has put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. He died for sinners. He shed his blood. I asked you tonight, are these things true? Are they true? Of course they're true. Christ died for sinners. Christ died for the ungodly. You only have to lift up the Bible, Romans chapter 5, and you'll find those verses yourself. You see, they're true. And then you have the Muslims. Now they're in darkness. And they tell us that Jesus never died. I don't know if you ever heard that. The Muslim faith does not believe that Jesus Christ, the Son of God. They do not believe that Jesus Christ went to the cross and died for our sins according to the scriptures. And then they're saying to us, let's all get together. Let's all have one faith. How can we? Someone brings that up to me. And my outreach work, I tell them, did Jesus die? He did die. He died for our sins. And I said, Muhammad came along, was it 400 or 500 years later? And he said he didn't die. Now I said, somebody's telling lies. You see, we can believe God, what God tells us in his word. Jesus Christ loved us and died for our sins. And I want to say that tonight to you. If you're all converted in this meeting, that Christ died for sinners like you. He shed his blood. He took our place and he took our punishment. These things are true. He's a Savior. He came to save us from our sins. Of course, he's a resurrected Savior. For instance, one passage in Matthew 28, verse 6, the angel said, he's not here. And why is he not here? Why is he not in the tomb? For he is risen. He has risen, as he said, come and see the place where the Lord lay. And they're saying, listen, come have a look in here. Come and look where his body was placed. And come in and look for yourself, and you'll see that the tomb is empty. And we had Easter not so long ago. That's what sets our faith, aside from all others. Jesus Christ alive. He's a Savior. God tells us about the Savior. He came into the world to be our Savior. He died on the cross for our sins. He rose again from the dead. And I ask you tonight, are these things true or are they false? According to the Bible, they're true. They come from a God tonight that cannot lie. That's what he says. That's what he's told us in his word. He sent his son to be our Savior. I need a Savior. And you need a Savior. Not a person in this meeting. Not a person in Armagh City tonight that doesn't need a Savior. We all need a Savior. And Jesus Christ is a Savior. And then we can believe what, thirdly, what God says about man's salvation. What has he said? Well, look at verse 2. In hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. Oh, God made a promise. What was a promise? Eternal life. Eternal life. God would send the Lord Jesus Christ into the world to be our Savior. And this life, listen, this eternal life is found. And I want you to know tonight, this eternal life is found in the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Lord Jesus Christ alone. It's not found in anywhere else. Not found in any other religion. It's not found in any other person. It's not found in any other thing. It's found in Jesus Christ. Think of these words. 1 John 5, verse 11. This is the record that God has given to us eternal life. And this life is in His Son. And he that hath the life has a Son, has life. And he is not the Son of God, has not life. And he tells us very powerfully, and he tells us very plainly, where is this eternal life found? This life is found where? It's in His Son. Not in any church or chapel. It's not any creed or works or deeds. This eternal life is found in Jesus Christ. That's what the Bible says. And these things are true. Eternal life is found in Jesus alone. Maybe you're looking for eternal life tonight. Well, you'll find it only in Christ. It can be attained only by faith. Over and over in the Word of God, it tells us that he that believeth in the Son hath everlasting life. By grace he is saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works. Lest any man should boast. It's by grace. It's by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a gift, the gift of God. It is eternal life. These things are true. The greatest sinner can obtain it. Remember Apostle Paul? He said, this is a faithful saying, and it's worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And here's what he said, of whom I am chief. Now, why did he say, of whom I am chief? Because he's the greatest sinner. And to show us that Christ can save the greatest sinner. And maybe you feel within your heart tonight that you are the greatest sinner in this place. But here's the news, Christ can save you. Is it true or false? Can the Lord Jesus save the greatest sinner? It's true. The Apostle Paul tells us, he saved me. I was a wretched man. I persecuted the church of Christ. Some were put to death. I came to Jesus Christ. I came to him the way I was in my sin, and he found me and he saved me. He called me out of darkness into his marvelous light. And he saved me. It's true. It's true tonight what God says about salvation. It's by faith, it's by repenting from your sin and coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. It is lasts forever. He talks here in verse 2, it's eternal life. And you glad tonight the Lord saves you? Not for 6 months, not for 1 year, not for 10 years, but it's everlasting life. In hope of eternal life with God, the promise, that God that cannot lie promised before the world began. So we find this. God tells about salvation. We've got to repent. We've got to turn from our sin and come to the Lord Jesus Christ and trust Him. And if we do this, He will save us and give eternal life. Do you believe that? Do you believe that tonight in this meeting? Have you put it to the test? Have you said, I'll come to Jesus? We sing that hymn sometimes, I believe Jesus saves, and His blood washes whiter than the snow. Well, have you come? Look who's singing it, friends. You've got to come to Christ. You've got to leave your sin before it's too late. And come and trust Him tonight, and He will save you and give you everlasting life. Remember, these are truths from the God of truth, from the God that cannot lie. He tells us if we come to Christ, He will save us and take us at last home to heaven, and will never be punished for our sin and give us everlasting life. Oh, He's a God that cannot lie. We can trust Him. Would you put your trust in Him tonight? If I can help you, speak to us. anyone else, maybe elders, speak to them. Don't go home without Christ. But we trust tonight you'll come. And you'll put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you have the promises. We sing that hymn sometimes. I'm standing on the promises of God. Are you glad tonight to be saved? And say, I'm standing on the promise of God. The God who cannot lie. It's wonderful to be saved. To know your sins are forgiven. And you're on your way to heaven. And that's what God does for those who trust Christ. So come and trust Him. God write His word upon our hearts. Let's close in a wee brief word of prayer. Our loving eternal Father in heaven, we thank you for being with us. And we pray that you'll bless the word to the hearts of people. Maybe some listening, they're not saved. Maybe there's someone here, Lord, and they're not saved. We pray you've broken their heart. We pray they'll come to Christ and receive the promise of God, which is eternal life, through faith in the Lord Jesus. Bless your word to the salvation of souls. Take us to our homes in safety until we meet again in this fashion. I pray in Jesus' wonderful and great name. Amen. Amen. Thank you very much. Thank you.